and welcome to Uncle Steve's Iron Maiden Zone. I am your host, Uncle Steve, and this week we are going to rank a letter of the Iron Maiden alphabet, and to do that with me, I have the translator, the administrator, and
the podcast historian.
The podcast historian, Kirsty Prince in Perth, Australia. Hello, Kirsty. How are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you going?
I'm obviously losing my mind, you know? So I had found it. Yeah, I had found it for a while, but now it's gone again. So, you know, some good, some bad. You got to take the good with the bad, right?
Right. So,
all right. So what we're going to do today is, if you heard a while back, we did an episode with the author, the official author, our celebrity guest friend, Bruno McDonald, and we had ranked all of the songs by Iron Maiden that started with the letter S. And we had a plan for today, and our plan was foiled by the bad guy. So when the bad guy foiled our plan, we had to come up with plan B. So plan B was, let's rank some songs, which is something we're pretty good at, I think. So even though some people say ranking songs isn't any fun, do you agree with that?
It ruins the joy of the song if you rank it, apparently.
Sometimes.
If it does for you, probably don't listen, but we always think it's really fun to do. So who's the bad guy in all this? What are you saying?
Matthew. We've had an episode that
weathering his area.
Yeah, he's dealing with something, but maybe the bad guy is what do they call Mother Nature, the bad girl.
Yeah.
So but we've had, and I won't say what it is we've had planned, but we planned to do this actually the last week of December. And that didn't work out. Then we planned on doing it, today?
Yeah, so, Matt keeps being unable to attend, and we have to keep, coming up with things at the spur of the moment. So,
yeah.
Let me just say, I don't know if this list is, you know, what I would pick tomorrow, but it's how I felt this morning
when I found out
we were doing it.
Yeah, I had a really busy day, and so I literally had just a handful of time to even look at it and go, I already had these songs in a playlist for each letter of the alphabet if we ever want to do one. So immediately I pulled it up and I was like, okay, well, there's 12 songs, so yeah, let's do that. And then I was like, let me throw them in some kind of order real quick here, and then I'll tweak it later. I never got to tweak it, so I may be tweaking it as we're going. But what we are ranking, though, is edit. We are ranking the 12 Iron Maiden songs that start with the letter D. Now, back to the show.
There are 12, and there is also the Blaze Bailey cover of Doctor Doctor that's a B-side that we have missed out.
Yeah, I wanted to just do originals, so.
Yeah.
But I'm going to read these in alphabetical order instead of chronological.
Edit. The 12 songs are Dance of Death, Darkest Hour, Days of Future Past, Death of the Celts, Death or Glory, Deja Vu, Die with Your Boots On, Different World, Don't Look to the Eyes of a Stranger, Dream of Mirrors, Drifter, and The Duelists. Now back to the show.
12-1 in council's order.
Edit. As the Honorable Counselor Sir Richard Holmes of the Ulster Unionist Party in Garvagh, Northern Ireland would have it. Now back to the show.
We didn't have a lot of time. So this is going to be interesting. I'm curious to see. I mean, I have a feeling that we can both probably guess our lowest tracks, but what's going to be the highest tracks is really mind-boggling for me.
I know what your lowest track might be, but
I think I know yours as well. So I think I have a guess on it. So
Yeah.
But
okay, so maybe you won't be too disappointed then.
Yeah, okay, well. Why don't you go ahead and just disappoint me right off the bat here? What's your number?
Okay, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm so sorry. My number 12 song is Dream of Mirrors. Because it's got a horrible intro, which I wouldn't mind, but it's got literally nothing to do with the rest of the song. I mean, there's good bits. There's that pleasant, gentle intro. That sounds nice. I mean, the singing is outstanding, but it just takes so long for anything to happen. And it kind of picks up a bit after 3 minutes. The chorus is catchy and great, but then it just goes back to the slow verse. It's just way too long. Nothing happens. And then at one stage, instead of ending, it speeds up. And that just sounds ridiculous to me. And it adds nothing to the song. I'm pushing it out to 9.5 minutes. And I know you love it. But I think if this was on Virtual 11 without the production and Bruce's voice to save it, I think it would be the worst song on Virtual 11.
Wow.
Yep, sorry. What was your number 12?
Well, in like-minded fashion here, I'm going to disappoint Kirsty right off the bat.
Indeed.
Because my number 12 is... Let me check one little thing on my list before I say this, just to make sure. Gonna go ahead and get the only track on this list with Paul on vocals out of the way. My number 12 is very easily Drifter. I don't think I hate it, I just don't want to listen to it.
Okay. But I knew it was gonna be Drifter.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's a decent song. I mean, but it's just so quick, you know, and he starts off with that, you know, walk away. He's just doing all the vocal act, trying to do all the vocal acrobatics that he doesn't really excel at, you know. And you know, I just this song. There's the part in this song where he just goes like, "I want you to sing it, sing it, sing it," and he does that over and over and over. Like, I just want you to stop singing. Please. Mm. It feels like it's got a bit of a happy feel to it. I don't like the happy, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a happy person, I guess. I'm a happy person, but I'm just, you know, when it comes to music, I like things to be more miserable and depressing.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, but he's got I
guess cuddling's pretty happy, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, I wish this song... When I saw this on the list, I knew what my bottom song was going to be. There was no doubt in my mind. It's just not a song that... If I listen to that album, which I rarely do, I just don't... Because this is the last song on the album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just that it's just like, and at the end, you know, because he's like, "Cause I'm a drifter," and he just tries to do this big vocal acrobatic thing, and he's screaming and going on and on. And I'm just like, "Good Lord, dude!" It's like he was trying to show off because he knew it was the last thing he was ever recorded with Iron Maiden, and he just didn't do.
Did he know that?
Edit, and I apologize for all of the edits, but Paul Di'Anno has said that he was considering leaving Iron Maiden, was going to leave Iron Maiden, whatever, Iron Maiden has said that they were considering firing him, getting rid of him. They were obviously looking for a new singer as time went by. Back to the show.
I don't know. Mm. I'm not an expert. I'm just a fan.
Yeah, I don't know if he knew while he was singing Drifter, but
maybe that song, maybe that one when Steve heard that, he was just like, yeah, this is not the guy for us. So, yeah.
Okay. Maybe.
I don't know.
Edit. How about number 11 now, Kirsty?
Okay, I think this is a little bit less controversial. I've got Don't Look to the Eyes of a Stranger. That's the only Blaze Bailey one, isn't it? It's just way too long, but apparently it's only 8 minutes. I really like the guitar riff and the verses that are fast and energetic. Instrumental section is fantastic. There's a lot to like here, but like out of that 8 minutes, there's a 3 minute section in the middle. And he says, don't look to 50 times. And in the whole song, he says it 78 times.
Golly.
I think, you know, it is quite nice. It's nice the way it builds up. And he starts off whispering, so you get a little bit of ASMR, but it's just too much. So that's why that's at my number 11.
Golly, 78 times. Wow. I really do like that. I like that part because I like it. He starts out about whispering. You know, really cool. Yeah, I do understand that it's way too repetitious. So.
Yeah, but it's not bad. But
I have a song next that could be. Let's see here. Could possibly be controversial to some people. I guess anything could be controversial. Really, I guess.
I guess.
This is a song that I never really loved. Like, I used to think it was okay. And I like it better now than I used to like it. But it suffers because at the very end of it, when the song should end, they go back into the chorus again. And it makes the song like an extra minute and a half long or something. It's just way too long.
Yeah, I can understand that, even though I don't know what the song's going to be. That does happen sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to stick to my guns with it. And I guess another way to say it is, you know, if I'm going to die, I with my boots on. So,
yeah, I thought you'd have that quite low.
Yeah, and it's like, to me, when the song starts out, it's like got a really, really great riff, you know, and it's that little, that, you know, that cool lead line thing. It sounds really, really awesome. And, but the way Bruce, I'm not a big fan of the melodies that he sings in the chorus. I mean, not the chorus, in the verses. I don't really care for the melody in the pre-chorus, and I don't really care for the chorus either. There's some good guitar solos. There's some good music in the song, but it's just too long and drawn out. They go way too long on that. If you're gonna die, you know, if you're gonna die, no, they go, and you know, if you're gonna die, if you're gonna cry, you know, all that. It's just too much. It's a common
complaint about Iron Maiden, isn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes if it's a good sounding,
sometimes they just don't know when to stop.
True. Yeah. And this is even when they had Martin Birch. So you think Martin Birch would be like, hey, maybe knock that last chorus off, you know, but I'm sure Steve at that point already thought,
no,
you ain't telling me what to do. But yeah, that's my number 11.
Oh, I like it when we have impressions on the show.
Only impression I can do of Steve Harris is what I've learned from Wayne.
Yes, it did sound like an impression of Wayne doing an impression of Steve.
Yes, that's literally all I have. That's literally all I have. So what do you have at number 10?
Well, I don't really have too much to say about it, but I have Death or Glory. Because it's just 10, like, it's an accessible, simple rocker. Bruce singing about planes, which is really good. I mean, I do love this song, actually, but it's still my number 10. It's really fun, like a little bit of slide guitar on it, but I think I just like the other songs more.
Okay. Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, that one's got some cool lyrics and stuff to it. I also have Death or Glory at number 10, oddly enough.
Yeah, I thought we might have a match there for some reason.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I expected you to have that higher because it's an Adrian song, but I do like this song. I mean, it's not really even one of my favorites on that album, but I do like it. It's got a cool riff, and you know, the chorus is pretty cool, and the way he sings the verses is pretty cool. The lyrics are really cool, but yeah, it's not. Yeah, I feel the same way. I like it, but I like the other stuff better. So I guess that's an easy yeah, cop out.
It's such a simple song. There's not really a lot you can say about it.
Yeah,
in
there's
comparison
not
with other Maiden songs.
Yeah. There's not a lot of songs you can actually say that about with Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
All right, so that's number 10. We have one match already in our first three. You think we'll have any more?
Maybe.
I'm going to guess here. Let's see. I'm going to look at my list and see how many matches. I'll say we'll have two more matches.
Okay, I mean, we quite often get three.
Yeah. So, and three would be, that'd be 25%, so.
Would
pretty
it?
Good. 3 of 12. 4 times 3 is 12, so 40.
Yeah.
You know, 25%, so yeah. So what do you have at number 9? Check out the big math brain.
I know. Very four impressive. Times three. do you know they'd like three songs from Senjutsu?
I
you
noticed,
missed
this
for 12?
Yeah.
What percent is that?
25%.
So I've got one of them already at number 9.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's Days of Future Past.
12, 11, 10, 9. Oh, okay. Days of Future Past.
You know, I'm just going to say, I do like this song. It's Iron Maiden. Like, even like the first two I've said, there's still stuff in it I like. And then from then on, they're all good songs, really. But yeah, Days of Future Past. I absolutely love the opening riff. It's just great. And every time you use it as an intro for the Waffle Zone, I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part of the song.
The intro?
The intro riff. And then it goes into like a more straight ahead rock style thing. I mean, the verses are great. They're pretty heavy and aggressive. I like that. I like the chorus. It's maybe a little bit high pitched, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit of a stretch for him. Really fun rocky solos. A few nice changes of pace. One of the more accessible songs on Senjutsu.
Oh, definitely.
But, you know, again, there's other songs I think I like better.
Of course. It's got to go somewhere, right? It's got to go somewhere. So I'm going to go ahead with my number 9. And, you know, I'm not very good with numbers. I can do
them. You can do math.
Do math. But when it comes to the counting part, that's where I kind of get lost. But I'm going to go ahead and also name a song that you've already mentioned. My number 9 is Don't Look to the Eyes of a Stranger. You kind of said it all. I mean, especially mentioning that they say that part, that one line 78 times. That's incredible. That is incredible. But I really, really like, I think I think it gets a bad rap, but I think it is a good song. And I love
it's
that.
It's a good
part
song. It just could be better if they just chop that bit down a bit. I mean, 3 minutes is too long to, I know the Angel of Gambler, they do it for 4 minutes.
Yeah. But I think it came across a lot better here. I love that when that part when he starts whispering, I just think that's really cool. And then they have that little guitar playing along with them. I do dig this song a lot. It's just, compared to everything else, it's definitely, I'm sure there's people that probably think having it at 9 is a little bit too high, but, I think that's about as high as it could go. So for me, so obviously that's where I put it.
I'm wondering if anyone is going to have it higher than that. It'd be interesting to see.
I don't think anybody will. I don't think anybody.
Yeah, I'd say probably a lot of people would put that at the bottom.
Yeah, that's where I think. I know there's a few people that'll definitely put it there. So that brings us to number 8 already. We're just zipping through this thing.
Yeah.
So what do you have at number 8? This will be shorter than your actual. This will be shorter than your first Iron Maiden.
My first story. Ever Iron Maiden story. Maybe we'll see.
We'll see.
So it's another song from Senjutsu already. I've got Death of the Celts.
At number eight. Okay.
You're at number eight, and you know, again, it's a good song. It's got that long, slow intro. It really sort of showcases the bass guitar.
Yeah.
And I really like it. And if you don't like these, you probably don't like Modern Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
The comparison with the Clansmen makes sense, but I think they're just going to, they're kind of more into kind of doing folky stuff, like British folky stuff from time to time. An awful lot happens in this song. There's just like, and it's got a really good Adrian solo, so obviously that helps me.
Sure.
There's like a complete change of pace in this song as well. When you get to that section, do you remember that guy that came on your Christmas episode or Senjutsu episode? I can't remember. He said this section reminded him of someone walking through a Ren fair with elf ears. The diddly diddly bit. No, and I wasn't sure about that section at first, but I absolutely love it now. And the bass in that section is fantastic because he's playing it like a lead guitar and he doesn't do that as much anymore. Yeah. And then there's just solos and solos for days. There's like, it's not much of it is singing. It's quite, it's almost like an instrumental with a bit of singing at either end. It's like 10 minutes long, but it doesn't even feel it because of all the different sections. And it worked really well live. So... Yeah, I'm a big fan of this one, but there you go. What did you have at number eight?
Oddly enough, at number eight, I also have a song from Senjutsu here, because I guess when you have 25% of them, you got to start putting them somewhere. And my number eight is also Death of the Celts. So,
cool.
Yeah, so this it shows a great minds think alike. And even not so sometimes. Great minds think alike. So, but I remember when this first came out and a lot of people were really bashing it because of the comparison to the Clansmen. And I remember James from New Zealand, he said, it's not a ripoff of the Clansmen. It's just, it's Celtic in nature, it was musically. And that's what the similarity is. It's not that they're trying to copy the Clansmen. It sounds that way because that's kind of what the Clansmen did, but I think the bass intro he does is really, really good. I really enjoy it. It's very pleasant to listen to, you know. The first bit, and then when it gets into that part that sounds more like the Clansmen, like I like that too. And the first time I heard this song, I remember thinking it was a bit long. And kind of watching the time after a certain amount of time. But after a while, man, this is one that's really, really grown on me. This has been a sleeper track from this album for me. Like, I think
the same thing. Like, at first, I was like, yeah, it's okay. But I think putting three songs in a row that are like 10 minutes long probably.
Yeah.
You know, will make you feel album, like it's a bit long.
Closing the album like that, and it wasn't like you didn't know how long they were. You know, you had the track listing ahead.
Yeah, I saw before I heard them. It's here we go.
It's a 10-minute song, an 11-minute song, and a 10-minute song. Wow. So you knew you were in for a, you know, kind of a long thing, but I thought, yeah, I know when I originally did this, I think we did something where I let people review the songs, like what you were talking about. Yeah. And I don't know if it's the same person. I don't know if more than one person reviewed this song or not, but I do know one person gave it such a bad review that he asked to be not referred to by his name. And wow. if that person is listening, I'm sure he wouldn't appreciate how much I like it now. Because I've asked him since then, I sent him a message one day, and I was just like, and it's a friend of the show. And I said, hey, this has really grown on me. I really do like it. I said, have you tried it again? And he was just like, you know, I'll try it again. He said he thinks it's the worst song they've ever made. Like, he hates it.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what it's like, though. It's like me just taking Against the Red and the Black and other people liking it and stuff like that. It's sometimes you just can't.
Yeah, sometimes you just pick. Yeah, I get you. Sometimes something just hits you completely the wrong way, and then it's hard to go back. Maybe like Matt. I mean, maybe in 20 years, it'll be his Dance of Death, you know, his
Yeah,
Wildest Dreams
maybe. But Matt really hasn't changed his stance on Wildest Dreams, has he now?
True, true, true. So yeah, I've had a little bit of epiphany with it, but not anywhere near the level I have with this song. So, but yeah, that's
Sure.
my number eight also. So now we are at we got 2 out of 5. That's pretty good. We're doing good here. So,
Okay. We're not going to have a match on number seven, though, because you've already said it.
okay, well, what you got number seven then?
I've got Die With Your Boots On,
Okay, fair enough, fair
which,
enough.
you know, I kind of, because I listened to all the songs this morning and I was really enjoying this one. I saw the Iron Maidens play it live as well last year, and I think that's really helped as well. It's got the fantastic opening and a really great pace, an aggressive verse. Lyrics are good. I like the pre-chorus a lot more than you do. I don't think the chorus is the best.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, there is like the I don't want to call it gang vocals, but I don't know how else to put it. The other people singing If You're Gonna Die after Bruce.
You could call them group vocals, maybe group
group vocals.
vocals.
Sure. You know, it's a bit of a blot on the chorus, but it's still, it's catchy, it's fun to sing along to. The bass line under it is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The great middle section. I really like Adrian's composed solo. You can almost sing along to that solo. You like it's like you know how it goes.
Yeah.
And he's playing the lower notes on the dual harmonies, and that tone is like really great. And yeah, I was really enjoying that this morning. So, yep, there it is, number seven.
Number seven. Well, I'm gonna throw something out here at number seven that's I wanted to put it a little higher, but I just didn't. I just didn't. And I'm looking at my list, decide if I need to change it really quickly before I say it. No, I'm just gonna go with what I
Oh,
got.
just do it.
I'll just do it. This song comes from one of my favorite Iron Maiden albums. It's the opening track from one of my favorite Iron Maiden albums, and the lyrics are great. It's a huge change of pace from just about every other song on the album. It's Different World from A Matter of Life and Death. And I don't always know the lyrics 100%, but I was reading the lyrics of this because I thought, you know, that's an album about war. And this song doesn't feel like it's about that. It's like it's a different world. You were living in a different world. And I read this and I just thought, wow. He says, I thought I had it all. I had it all worked out. Just what the future held, that there would be no doubt. But then the card came up, and I took another turn. So, like, probably his draft card, you know? And I'm just like, that's how quickly, you know, and you hear later on, and you heard, like, you know, on a song, say, like Passchendaele on the previous album, how one event just altered, ended so many lives needlessly. And just, you know, getting that card in the mail, you know, just one little thing. But I like this song because it feels like it's a upbeat. It feels pretty fun, even though, you know, given what it's about. And it's one of the fun Iron Maiden songs that I really love. I love the chorus. Tell me what you can hear and what you can see. And then when Bruce just comes wailing in there, you know, don't want to be here, somewhere I'd rather be. But when I get there, I might find it's not for me. And that's something I'm sure we can all really relate to, you know, thinking you want to be somewhere different, like the other side of the fence kind of thing. Grass is always greener. But yeah, I really, really like this song. I think it's a really great song. It's, like I said, it's the opening track from one of my top Maiden albums. But yeah, number seven for me. Number seven for me. So is that right? Seven?
So that was seven, yeah. I thought you'd have that a little bit. I don't know why. No, I didn't. Maybe. I thought you might have it a bit higher, but
I almost swapped it with my number six earlier, and then
yeah, I understand.
I just thought, you know what? I've already made the list. Just it is what it
And then
is.
you're
We're
like, it doesn't matter.
I was like, yeah, I you know, it's like I tried so hard with this list, and I got so far with it, but in the end,
Doesn't
doesn't
really
even
matter.
matter. Yeah. So yeah, Different World at number seven. What do you have at number six?
Deja vu.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Deja vu. I feel like I've been here
Deja vu.
before.
Yep. So it starts off with a lovely slow Dave Murray intro and off. It's a nice riff, good fast pace, and it moves along really nicely. And it's got loads of cool guitar licks, and the dual guitar harmonies are lovely. Drums are great. The vocal melody and lyrics, they're not brilliant. And the chorus is a
Yeah.
bit repetitive,
Yeah.
but I'd say Bruce does a great job with it.
Oh
A
yeah.
nice short, simple rocker, and this is a very enjoyable song.
Okay.
So.
Well, we're definitely not going to have a match here because the one I'm going to name is something you've already named. And
Okay.
it's another track from Senjutsu. And I have at number six, I have Days of Future Past. I love the intro. That's the reason I, started using it on the Waffle Zone because I just thought it just sounds so cool and it's just so it almost sounds unmaiden-like when you really if you think about it, and but then when it kicks in, and then that Adrian riff kicks in,
I mean, it's good that they're doing things that don't sound like Maiden. It's good that they're doing
exactly.
lots of new stuff at this
It's
stage.
yeah, they're still creative, and that's really at that age. It's really unique in a band, and we're all Maiden fans here, and we love them. And I don't feel like we're being homers saying that they're doing some unique things. Now they're obviously, doing things like similar to some things they've done in the past, because they are who they
Definitely.
are. But yeah, this song and the lyrics, man, they are pretty intense. Like, and I really wish that I could have. I may have to send again a private message to have a stiff drink on hand when he listens to this episode after what you just put at number six, by the way.
Oh,
That is
come
his favorite
on. I
Iron
didn't put it
that's
at the
his favorite
bottom,
Iron
and I
Maiden
said
song.
lots of lovely things about it, didn't
That's
I?
his number one Iron Maiden song. He's gonna be like probably taking a drink. He'll be like, I didn't need this stiff spit all over the place.
Oh.
But no,
Love
but
you
Days of Future
again.
Past, these lyrics are intense. Yeah, we love you again. Take care of that baby. Don't listen to this episode around that baby, please. Please. So, but these lyrics, these are intense lyrics on Days of Future Past. Like the way it starts, a war in heaven and God's rage. He put me in this burning cage. Holy fury locks me in, imprisoned by my deadly sin. That right there is pretty intense, This is, I don't know. I just, like when I listen to this song, I don't get the vibe that it's a dark lyrical song. It sounds kind of upbeat, kind of happy.
I love songs like that though. I love
Yeah.
songs that have got like really dark lyrics, but the music doesn't quite
Yes.
match.
Seems like there was something on the br on the Accident of Birth that was like that, wasn't there?
There've been a lot of
Or,
things that are like
yeah,
that.
I guess that. Yeah, that's exactly like probably Alice in
That's
Chains lyrics are.
why we talk. Yeah, Alice in Chains as well. I mean, that's why we're talking about those songs because they're bands that we're drawn to do that kind of thing a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, but yeah, this is a song I really like. It's just the pace of it. It's a quick banger of a song, and I just enjoy it. And it's like I love that 17 albums in that there's a song that's 4 minutes long on there. You think Iron Maiden can't put out a 4 minute song, and then they go and do it. It's a great song, so I love it. But it's also my number six still. It's not cracking down. It's not cracked all the
That's
way
not
down there.
bad.
Yeah, it is
There's a
not
lot of
bad.
good stuff on here.
Absolutely. And there's even better to come, I think, right?
In our opinion.
In our opinion, that's right. That's right. So we're in the top five now. And so we've made it through seven or eight tracks, and we have two matches so far. So let's see how many more matches options? How many options for matches do we have right now? One, we have three out of the next five. We have three chances. I think we
Oh,
have
I
three
reckon we'll get another
songs.
one.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. So what do you have at number five?
At number five, I have the Duelists. This could be a bit overlooked next to the other Power Slave songs. But it's great. It's a nice, fast, fun song. The O on the chorus, it's a bit of a blot. But other than that, Excellent. The bass as a lead instrument all over this, like I was saying before about, and Death of the Celts. But this is absolutely incredible. It's just up and down and all over the place. This fantastic long middle section, there's galloping, there's dual guitar harmonies, there's brilliant solos. This is everything I love about Maiden. The way I'm talking, you'd think I would put it at number one, wouldn't you?
You'd think you would,
You'd
wouldn't you?
think, I think, yeah, it's not probably my favorite chorus, but yeah, really good song.
Interesting.
And maybe we'll have a match here, will we? Number five?
I think I know you're number one now. We will not have a match on number five. Now, I'm going to just say, when I say my song here, we only have one more chance for a match after this one,
Okie
because I have a different song here that you don't
dokie.
already have. And
Yeah. Okay.
my number five is a song that I do love. I have Dance of Death at number five. And I could have put it higher, but when I made my initial list and then I just didn't really ever tweak anything, I just looked at it and I kind of thought, well, I could probably put that at number one, number two, maybe number three. And then I just kind of thought, you know what? I got to go cook dinner. I don't cook. I have very few things I cook, and my wife, because it's really cold out, there's this soup that I make, and she's just like, "Hey, you think you can make that soup today?" And so I dragged around and finally got to it, and all my t it took. I told you earlier, it took a lot longer. Had a little bit of a, who's the famous Gordon Ramsay or whatever? I'm not Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen, I guess. Is he the famous cook?
But he is a famous cook, yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm not
You
like.
need a Thermomix, then you can get your soup done in no time. I'm not sponsored by them.
So, Dance of Death is one of those songs, though, that's like, to me, if this was just a short story with no music whatsoever, it would still be an amazing piece of art. I think like the story itself is just really, really good. And I think Bruce sells it really well the way he sings. The only part that's kind of weird in the song is that part, that little, but I remember when I remember when I would listen to that on the album and I just thought, gosh, that just it's kind of cringy. And then I remember listening to it one day. I was listening to Death on the Road and they played it, and it came in, and then the whole band kicks in,
Yeah.
and I just thought, whoa. And that completely changed the way I felt about the song. I was like, that's awesome. That sounded really cool.
Yeah,
And
it was
like,
definitely written to be played live, wasn't it?
yeah. And Matt has that phrase where he says, when a song is played live, it's the great equalizer. That's where you really find out, kind of where the rubber meets the road, I guess, with it. So, and it really proved it. And, but I love the way he sings, when he comes back in after that big lawn, that part, and the first line he says, as I danced with the dead, my free spirit was laughing and howling down at me. And it's like the way he is just wailing. He's just like giving it everything he's got. And he sounds amazing.
Yeah, he must have really loved that song.
Oh yeah. But gosh, and like I said, the story, the fact that you've got a cool song with cool melodies, but the cool lyrics, I mean, that's just something Iron Maiden can do. They just do it well. They have some, they don't hit with every lyric, but when they do hit, man, they hit good. So yeah, that's my number five, Dance of Death. You'd think with me saying all that, I might have put it higher too, right? So,
Right.
you'd think, I'm kind of
Yeah,
thinking the
but
same
maybe
thing,
you're
so.
going to have some really good things to say about some of the other songs that are coming.
I hope so. I hope I can come up with something better.
You're not
Oh
looking like this is my number one. It's all right.
yeah, that's actually my number one, actually. So I'm just doing these. I'm not doing council's order on this, actually. So,
Sure.
four. Now, what do you have at number four?
Okay, well, you've already said this one. This is from your favorite Iron Maiden album, perhaps. Different
Uh-oh.
World.
There you go.
Obviously everything you said, but yeah, it's just really fast and aggressive at the start. Nice riff. Really great chorus with those like Thin Lizzy inspired harmonies sound great. Just a really great song for driving and singing along to. I love the Don't Want to Be Here section. I just think this is really fun and uplifting. Despite, you know, what you've said about the lyrics.
Right.
It's an intro to a pretty depressing album. You just so it doesn't really set you up for what's to come at all. But, you know, I have played A Matter of Life and Death. For a while, I just had it in my car and I played it on repeat and on repeat and repeat. Maybe because I wanted to see it here, this one, Brighter Than a Thousand Suns.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually all of it. But yeah, this is, I absolutely love this song. What have you got?
Well, I'm about with my number four. I am about to dash all the dreams that we once had of having another match, because my number four, I guess you would maybe call this, because of this, you would call this our darkest hour. Now we no longer have a chance for a match.
Oh, wow.
But we're close. We're all close on these. So, but Darkest Hour for me. And this was the biggest sleeper track for me on the album. Like, I remember, you know, hearing it and being like, you know, it's all right. You know, it's kind of the ballady song of the album. And, I remember we did an album review of it when it came out, like a quick review, me and James and Andrew. And James does not mince words. He just, you know, put a bullet in this one's head.
Did he? Oh, that's right. I remember. I must listen to that one again.
Yeah, because Andrew just gloated on it and gloated and just, you know, because Andrew loved it, like, from the first time he heard it. And immediately he was like, well, Andrew, after that nice thing you just did, like, I hate to say this, but I just think this is a throwaway track. And I'm just like, oh, my. It was kind of fun because we were on a video call, too, and so I could see Andrew's face during the whole thing. So,
did he cry?
Poor Andrew. Yeah, he may have. I don't want to, you know, we have some toxic masculinity on our podcast here, so we don't want to.
Well, but maybe I'm trying to dispel that.
But I'll say, this song really, when I first heard it, I thought, well, it's not bad. You know, it's kind of middle of the pack for me. Mm. But the longer I hear, every time I hear it, like now, I just think, God, this song is just a masterpiece. It's just amazingly well written. It's well performed. The melodies and the lyrics are so good. They're so powerful. And Bruce, man, he just sings the hell out of this song. And of course, I don't always remember these things, but I do remember in this song that Adrian Smith has just this incredible guitar solo. Like, it's really so, so well crafted. It's so well written. It's and so well played. But I love this song. It's a very powerful song. The only thing I don't like about it is at the end when the waves just keep going and going. And it's just at the ending, I'd say the intro is a little too long as far as just the sound effects, and the outro is a little too long with the sound effects. But everything else in between is just like really, really good. I love this song. So that's my number four. So what do you have at number three now?
Well, Darkest Hour is my number three. And like you, I mean, it has grown on me so much. I did not get how good this was. We did a thing ranking Adrian and Bruce songs a long, long time ago. And I put this at the bottom. I think I just wasn't across it. And we did it in a hurry and I didn't have time to sit and listen to it with my headphones on beforehand. And oh my goodness, I've so much changed my mind. I really like the sounds of the beach in the intro. And then I think when the guitar comes in, it sounds a little bit like seagulls and the cymbals sound like waves. And it kind of carries on and just sets the scene. So it's a really nice touch.
Yeah.
I think this is my favorite of these ballady songs because, you know, there's a few that are quite similar. And
sure.
But there's just such a lot happening in this. Like guitars under the verses are so beautiful. There's just all these licks over the last verse. There's just such a lot going on if you really, really listen. And it all just fits so well. Bruce is on top form. He's singing a style of song that really suits him, about a subject that interests him. Fantastic anthemic chorus. As you said, absolutely beautiful solo. It's not just Adrian, but all of them. But obviously, you know, Adrian gets his own one, and then there's a bit of music, and then the others off they go.
Okay.
So, so he kind of stands out. I think this would have been really good live. We can hope.
Yeah, that to hear that solo would be really, you know, like.
Yeah, I mean, cool. He might not play it as is, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, would be. I'm sure cool. He'd do.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. So that was your number three. So yes. We were close. We were really close on that.
Yes,
one,
very
so.
Close.
All right, so I've got a song now that I think you just mentioned. What was your number four?
Different World.
Okay.
And my number five was The Duelist.
Okay. Yeah, so we were a little off here. Okay. So, yeah, my number three, I have, and this will make Matt very happy, I have The Duelist at number three. Actually, he probably won't be happy. He'll probably say it wasn't high enough. But I'm like you. I really like this song. There's things I like about this song, and there's things I don't like about this song. But like music, everything, I mean, everything on Power Slave, the album in general, musically is just awesome. Everything on there.
Yeah.
Everything on there. It took me a while to catch on to this song, though. Like, I'm not a huge, huge fan of the melodies, you know, that, because there's just, he's singing too much. He threw down that glove. You made the mistake of picking it up.
Too many words squashed into too small a space.
Right. But he does a pretty good job at it. And then I don't really love the chorus either. But like musically, the song is so strong. And you got like, it's one of those songs where there's a lot of musical section. There's a lot of dual lead lines. There's, you know, that little breakdown section where it's like, bum, 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 bum. Da-na-na-na-na-na, bum, 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 bum. And then there's all that. But then they have that part where everything comes back in, and then there's a dual lead line. Da-na-na, and all that. I love the musicals. It's like when you listen to The Red and the Black. It's like there's certain stuff you don't love about it, but then you're like, the musical section is so great. For as much as I don't think the chorus is the greatest or the verses are the greatest, the music literally picks it up and lifts it to another level. So, so that's what puts The Duelist at number three for me. So
excellent.
So now we're down to our top two here, right?
Yes, we are. So if I tell you my number two, you'll know my number one.
Why don't you tell me your number one first, and then tell me your number two? If you want to do it.
You're gonna hate this.
Uh-oh.
My number one, I listened to all these songs today, and honestly, I must be in an absolute killer's mood. Drifter. And I was thinking, and I didn't listen to them in order, and I was like, wow. And I was like, no, this can't be number one. And I listened to it again at the end, and I'm like, well, yeah, this is what I'm in the mood for today. Sorry.
Man.
I love this album. I love the way the whole album sounds. I love the tone. I love the aggressiveness of Early Maiden. I think Paul does a great job on this. Love the changes of pace when it stops and starts. I love the way the bass sounds and it's jumping all over the song. I love the slow section with the lovely bluesy Dave solo. And the distortion on the guitars when it speeds up after the solos. And then Adrian does this brilliant solo to play it out, and it just sounds so exciting. I love Paul's scream, and I love that I'm banging my head. And
everything you love about it is what I hate. That's funny. This is, and so you're, so that makes your number two what? I don't remember what you had missing.
My number two is Dance of Death. So, it's got that lovely intro setting. I love the tale that it's telling. The intro fits the song, unlike some others. Bruce in storytelling mode is just great. There's a right amount of suspense. I love the way it builds and it gets really crazy, so you can picture the out of control dancing. Fantastic use of synths, like an orchestra, so that it sounds, I said synths, synths, so it sounds grand and theatrical. The moment when Adrian's solo kicks in is absolute gold. I would listen to this song just for that moment. But mind you, all the solos are outstanding. There's a terrific middle section with a gallop too. So I thought it was going to be my number one, but I was just really in a drifter mood this morning.
You drifted to that.
I did.
This is, I find this ironic because literally me and you have,
everything's really similar apart from our top and bottom. Yeah.
Yeah. We're actually having, we're in this instance, we're going to be, me and you are going to be the flip flop gurus today
because, yeah.
For all the, and it's exactly the same for all the reasons that you don't like Dream of Mirrors. I love it. I will be honest. I remember when I first heard it, I hated it. Like that whole boom, boom. Have you ever? And I was like, ugh. And again, it was the live version of it when I heard it on Rock in Rio and how powerful Bruce sounded when he sang it. And I was just like, wow, it blew me away. Yeah, I'm really surprised it's on Rock in Rio that they did it live, to be honest with you, when you think about it. But they did the Red and the Black live on the Book of Souls tour, so I guess it shouldn't surprise us at all. But when I heard Dream of Mirrors on there and how powerful that sounded, it was like when I watched that video for Empire of the Clouds. It was like, it was like literally I just did a 180 and I was just like, wow, I immediately fell completely in love with the song, everything about it. And I know you said like the you know, where it starts and bum, bum, you know, all the don't know why I feel this way and all that stuff. And the whole bit where it goes up to the dream is true, the dream is true. Then he goes, you know, think I heard your voice before. It's like it just keeps going and you're like, it does take a long time to get to where, you know, but when it kicks in, it's really cool because it's like that pre-chorus, all my hopes and expectations, looking for an explanation. And then I remember Bruno just hated how many times he said, I only dream in black and white. I only dream in black and white and all that.
Well, that is the best bit.
I was like, dude, I love that chorus. And, you know, and then it goes back to the, I know the song does kind of the same thing.
I mean, it's not like he says it 78 times, is it?
I'm pretty sure Bruno told me how many times he said it, but I don't remember when that was. He says it a lot, but I think it's an amazing song. And I love the end where it speeds up and he's doing that, you know, double time thing, you know. Mm. It's because at first it is definitely not my favorite part of the song, but I do like it. I like everything about that song. It's just really, really good. And this, when I had it left at, it's funny because same thing, when I had it sitting there at number one, I was like, I can't have that at number one. I can't put Dream of Mirrors at number one on this list. I mean,
I was sure you would put Dream of Mirrors at number one.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't. I mean, I was kind of thinking it would be.
Song.
I do love that
song. I know you love it.
I just didn't expect it. So
I bet you didn't expect me to put Drifter at number one, though, did you?
I literally didn't even think about it when you started going, you know, well, if I say that, you'll know what. I started thinking, what has she left? And it's like you said, I'm really surprised. And as soon as you said surprised, I went, oh my God, she hadn't said Drifter. Oh no. Too funny.
Oh, but, I'm glad you weren't paying attention.
So I guess in real Iron Maiden fashion, I know when I feel deja vu because we just literally had a deja vu moment, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, I had deja vu at number two. I kind of thought it would have been my number one, being that it was my first studio album by Iron Maiden. And lyrically, you're definitely correct. It's, you know, it's definitely not the most creative, but Bruce like does an amazing job with what he's given. You know, there's times when he's been given not so good. Like if we were ranking all the songs that started with the letter Q, then maybe we could address that. Like where he was given lyrics that just weren't very good and he just didn't really do a good job with them. But in this case, he's given lyrics that weren't that great and he did an amazing job with it. And of course, like musically though, the song is really, really, really strong musically, I think. Lots of great dual lead lines. This is one I would love to hear a cover band play live, you know, like here Maiden Texas play live.
I did. The Iron Maidens played it when I saw them. So yeah,
I'm wondering if I heard them play that. I think I must have heard them play that once before. I probably have it recorded on my phone somewhere, but yeah.
Or are you just getting deja vu?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like I've been here. I feel like I've heard that before. I feel like I've heard that before. feel like I've heard that before.
What if was only that?
I was doing it with my left hand. I was trying to do. You know, if Gen was here, he could probably do it a little better than me, since this is his favorite song, and I have it at number two. So you know how he's always clamoring for more Kirsty on the podcast? Maybe when he hears this, he might change his tune.
Maybe he will.
I don't think anyone's ever going to ask for more of me on the podcast, though. If they do, man, they just glutton for punishment. So,
Well, if they do, they just need to go to Patreon and they'll get some more.
I'm telling you, yeah, go to Patreon. There you go. Go to. I listened to a episode where I ranked an album that I didn't like and was taking shots. I listened to that the other day. It made me laugh.
Well, you know, at least you made yourself laugh.
Yeah, I did. I completely forgot about what I had said, some of the stuff I had said, and it made me laugh. So, but I guess all that said, we've now we know which songs. I guess we really don't know, because we completely opposite on our number one songs. So I guess that would mean both of our number one songs, if averaged out, would just fit somewhere in the middle. So at least on a dual list.
Okay, that's very clever. Dual list.
Yeah, there you go. So, a dual lead list. So, but yeah, this is fun. I mean, I think there's a lot of letters that we could actually go through and do this for at some point. And
but not Q.
Yeah, imagine that. Let's say what's the worst song? Actually, you know what? We could do it right now. Let's rank all the songs that start with Q right now. Okay. So, what is your least favorite song in the Iron Maiden catalog that starts with Q? What's the worst one?
Quest for Fire.
Hey, we have a match.
What's your favorite, though?
I don't have a favorite.
Oh, mine's Quest for Fire.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm an American. I'm going to plead the fifth on this one.
Okay, you can do that.
So now we've gotten two lists. The DQ, you know, that we have a restaurant in the United States called Dairy Queen. So this could be the ranking the DQ songs by Iron Maiden. So,
ooh, I like it.
Ranking the Queens, right?
Right.
So, yeah. All right. So I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode. I've enjoyed having to do this episode. This was kind of fun, actually. So thank you for doing this.
Yeah, it was all right in the end, wasn't it? It was quite fun.
Yeah.
You know, we went from like, oh my goodness, what are we going to do, to having a really good time as usual.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I appreciate your time again. Thank you very much. And
no worries.
Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten. And that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And
always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on the bright side of life.
For life is quite absurd. Death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy it. It's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death.